Bobbig.
Welcome to the talk of Olaf Klinke about self-documenting computation. Olaf Klinke is a mathematician and data scientist, and he loves functional languages and first Haskell. Enjoy his talk.
Welcome. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to present something here. Is that okay if I speak without a microphone? Yes. Can everybody understand me? Okay. Next, apologies for the window frame. It looks like the adapter cuts off some of the screen, so I can't go to full screen on the laptop, but I hope that's large enough. Anyways. So I'd like to start with sort of a motivating example. What I'm going to read out to you is sort of a dialogue that I had with someone, and this is sort of what got this project going. So I'm working for a company and we're writing invoices, so we're funneling some money coming in and it's going out, and so I'm generating invoices, I was generating an invoice, and the other side said, well, okay, we thanks for that, but we need to be sure that you calculated it right, so please, we need some way of doing that. And so I said, well, it's a computer-generated thing, and I did some checks on it, and I'm sure it's correct. And they said, well, that's fine, can I have a look at the spreadsheet file? And then I said, there is no spreadsheet file. On the other side of the phone, there was a silence. And they said, well, okay, how did you do it then? I said, well, I used this fancy language, so I deliberately put some variable there, so you can fill in whatever you like best. And they insisted, of course, well, I never used your fancy language, so I cannot verify that your algorithm is correct. So please send us some documentation so that we can verify step by step that your calculations are correct. And so this is how this all got going. So you should take something home from this presentation. If you have some data transformations that are non-trivial, so it's a bit more than addition, summation, division, or whatever, and if your calculations must be verifiable by some human being that is not computer literate, so you cannot just show them the source code of your program. And you can only make minimal assumptions about the capabilities they have on their side, so it's basically just reading a document. You know, accountants, they want some piece of paper in their hands that they can go and check and do whatever with it. And so it needs to be in human readable form, basically. The data should be in human readable form. Okay, so I'm going to give a couple of demos, and this is the toy example that I'm going to use. So our company is sort of a platform provider. So we own some infrastructure, and there's some customers, and they generate something through the platform that is of some value. And every month, the quantities differ slightly, and the value of each unit is different for every customer, so there's a couple of weights. And in the end, this is sort of symbolizing the amount that each customer gets on their invoice. So we get some revenue in, and everyone gets a share. And of course, each of those customers wants to know, I get my rightful share of this incoming revenue. We're going to have some I/O. So there's some database that records the quantity, number of units produced every month, And we do have some configuration. Let's say we have a CSV file that says which customer produces what is the unit value of each of these things. And in the end, I want to produce some invoice that I can show to the customer and say, here, these are the basic figures, and now this is the amount of this is the your share that you'll get. Okay, so how to do that with spreadsheets? So that's the first thing I'm going to show you. So I will have, here's a spreadsheet file. So we're going to have four customers. They're called A, B, C, and D. And there's some weights. So the customer A produces, each unit has the value 5, customer B has the value 8, and so on. So I just put it into sheet of the spreadsheet file. Of course, what I could do, at least Excel I think is capable of that, you can bind that to a database call or import the CSV file or whatever. Now, this is actually the thing that's sort of the another I/O call, so to say. So again, you would not just type that into a spreadsheet file, although this is actually something that we also do at our company. So there's the invoices that are coming in, they're on paper. And so somebody has to go in and copy the number into the system so that it's computer readable. So another thing is the database. So the quantity provided for this month that we want to generate the invoice for, just some figures. Again, you would maybe use some ODBC to actually attach this spreadsheet to a database and automatically reload the right numbers for the month that you're going to do. And in the end, we're going to have some sheet where we actually do some calculations. And so in which way is this a self-documenting computation? Well, accountants are used to reading spreadsheets, and so what you can do is you can click on some cell, and up here in this bar you're going to see a formula. And so what you can also do, it's a kind of nice thing, well, where is it? Let me find it, it's the detective. We can say trace the precedence. And so you can see that the cell A5 depends on the four cells in row 2. And then you can do things like, okay, where does this go? Let's use this again. You can say trace dependence. And you can see, okay, so this value is used in those cells, sorry, and so on. You didn't know that?
No.
No, we have, totally.
Wow.
We have one guy at our company who is an Excel wizard, and I did a little course with him. So this is one of the things that I kind of liked about it. But actually, this is as much as you can get. So. Of course, this example is pretty basic, and so you would need this kind of tracing stuff for understanding what's happening. I'm sure that you don't want to imagine your algorithm is a bit more complicated, or maybe you're using some data that goes beyond tables, and then probably you don't want to use this. So let's go back to the presentation. So what's my verdict? So everybody uses spreadsheets in the office world. They're interactive. You can go. So one of the nice things you can do is I can go back to this one and say, well, you know, what happened if this customer actually produced only the quantity 100, and the calculation updates itself and it updates the figures and so on. So that's kind of nice. So people can look at this and experiment with it and see, you know, test the algorithm a little bit and play around with it. So that's definitely a pro. you have intermediate values here, so you can decide yourself how complicated your formula should be and structure the intermediate values. I have never done this, but I don't know whether there's anyone in this room who's ever tried to debug other people's Excel sheets. I heard that it becomes kind of horrible. And if you want to do more complicated stuff, then you have to resort to Visual Basic, and that's some completely separate problem then. And the data model in spreadsheets is, of course, kind of limited. So if something isn't a table, then you're on your own, right? Okay. Now I want to show you another thing, which is called HaskinTech. It's a Haskell library, and it's sort of a mixing of computation and documentation. So let's go to the source. So I have a file. It's got the extension htaTEX, and it's what you hear. So I have to tell the so if I say it's a LaTeX file, there should be some. Ah, yeah. Now we get some colors in here. So I just write a Haskell a LaTeX source code. I have some sections. I say define the structure of the document, and then I can sprinkle in some code here. Now I have so this one here is an environment that says in here is some Haskell code, and this is also doing some I/O actions, and it returns a LaTeX value, which is then sort of inlined into the LaTeX source. And so here at the bottom, I put now the Haskell code that sits behind it, which does the data shoveling and so on. So now let's switch here, so I get some different inlining. So I have a type for customer, which is A, B, C, or D. Now, if you listen to the last talk, you see this. It's an algebraic data type. And now I load some data. I'm faking here accessing real databases, so it's not really a database. I'm pulling everything from files here, and so there's just some. So my business logic is just put in here. So now what can I do with it? So I have. I've written a little shell script, which, let's see, go back to this one. No, where is it? Here. I had a, all right, here. So in the Haskell code, I have a sort of a variable again. I want to generate an invoice for each of the customers, A, B, C, and D. So what the script does, it replaces this variable by something, by some real value that's a Haskell value, and it saves a copy of this thing then and runs it through HaskinTech. So let's do that. So apologies, this machine is 12 years old and it has about a quarter of the computing capabilities of your phone. So it takes a while. So what it does now, for each of the places in the LaTeX file where I said, now here's some Haskell code, it basically starts a Haskell environment and executes this and sees what's coming out of it. And in the end, I will get a normal LaTeX file with all the Haskell code replaced by its output. So, let's see. So here you can see now I put the verbose mode on, so now it's evaluating this expression. It uses a sandbox environment where I have the LaTeX available, and it's just going through all the things. So let's go back to this one here. Where am I? Yeah. Okay, so this was it. Let's see. Yep, it's generated one of those things already. For customer A, we have the file already, and so how does it look like? So I didn't put much effort into how it looks like, but now it got the data, and it's generating something, and here is the number that the customer is allowed to see. Okay, so that's kind of nice, but we're limited to LaTeX. And doing I/O in this is not really easy. So multiple I/O calls and having things that depend on some other calls is not that easy. But I still use HaskinTech in production. So when you don't use I/O, it's a really nice thing to do. So you can have a static LaTeX document and it does some computation. When you do more complicated stuff, then you can use also something like HaTeX. Directly, which is sort of the duality between documentation within code as opposed to code within documentation. Okay, now there's another thing that I wanted to show you, which is iHaskell. So it's a notebook. iHaskell is a really amazing thing. It can do a lot of stuff. It has graphics capabilities. When I compiled it on this machine, it depends on 200 Haskell packages, so it's also quite large, but it's capable of doing a lot. So how does that look like? So I'm writing a notebook, which again, let's see, I have to make this a bit smaller, so that you can see everything. So you see the same kind of code. I'm defining some functions and so on and so on. And now, so there's bits of documentation in here, which I can, it is basically marked down. And then I have bits of code, and then I can click in here and run. I run shift, what? Of course. So I first run this one, and now I have all the functions here in scope. I run that one. Now it generates some figures, and then I can go on and do this. Then here's another I/O call. It gets that one. And now in here, I'm also cheating and say, okay, now for this one here, I want customer A. Execute that one, and then I have this weighted sales that you know from the Excel file, and now here's something to show off. You can quite easily put some nice graphics in here, so that's kind of easy to do. I stole the code of some example of iHaskell, and in the very end, you get the final output. And I could now say, how was it? I can save as, I can export this to PDF or HTML quite easily, but then I get a static document, so I lose the interactive nature. So if I want to, if I want someone to be able to play around with this, they need to install the entire machinery. So So they're really intuitive to work with, to get things done. They're interactive. If you have the backend installed, they have graphics capabilities, which is kind of nice. I mentioned export to some document formats. Something that's not as nice is you cannot reference data cells from Markdown cells, at least as far I know. So what I did here, I have some hyperlinks in here that take me somewhere else, but I did them manually. Okay, and they're only interactive as long as you have the backend installed. Okay, and so since all these three things that I showed you didn't quite fit the bill or fit my use case, I created a package on my own. The philosophy is that documentation is only a small part of an actual application. And the computation itself and the checking, the verification, happen on different machines. Yeah? I do the computation, and my counterpart in bookkeeping is doing the verification. I also want the usual algorithm be extractable when I want to test it through quick check or whatever, so something like a notebook isn't really the thing I can use. And I want to automatically track the data flow. So this is something like what the spreadsheets do. Okay, so here's how it works. So suppose you have an algorithm that works by composing two functions and applying that to some input data X. So you have a piece of data A, you have a function F and a function B. And so what I do in this package is I would register this as a variable, saying now here's some piece of intermediate data. Then I have an edge in a graph going to the next intermediate data F of X, and then I have another edge in the graph recording the final output G of F of X. And in this graph, because I don't have because Haskell doesn't allow me to put arbitrary data into some common data structure, all the labels and the nodes in this graph are markup. You can generate this markup automatically via some type classes, or you can just write it yourself. Okay, so if I have a function that takes some data of type A and it performs some side effects, let's say IO, and gives you back some B, then you transform it into a function that takes the data A, it gives you back the data B, but it also transforms some state, and the state is the graph of data dependencies. And it also gives you back the node ID of the data B where it is recorded in this graph. So that's basically all there is. So I'm just plugging together standard components, standard libraries that everybody can use in Haskell. So you have this Mona Transformer library, you have a graph library, and that's basically all you need. Okay, so then you'll have a little kind of sort of domain-specific language. So you have some building blocks, how to build these monadic values. So you have a function called var, which registers a variable, which says this piece of data is some intermediate data that I want to others to see. I have a render function which says now take this data and actually put a markdown presentation of it into the data dependency graph. I have another thing that puts a description at a separate place into the graph. So you're supposed to write some in human readable sentences what actually the data is, what it does. And then last you have an apply function, which says take this annotated function and this annotated data, and now apply the function to the data, giving me something else. Okay, so next I'm going to show you the code, how it looks like in the provenience monad. So this is just some plain Haskell code. Now here's the algorithm, how it would look like if I didn't use this library. Okay, so what I do is I do three I/O calls. I have some intermediate stuff where I just basically multiply the sales numbers with the weights. Then I divide everything by the total value, by the total the total to get relative numbers, and then I multiply the revenue with the shares, and that's basically it. Okay, now this is how the same looks like in the provenience thing. So you see there's quite a bit more code to write, but this is because I'm now providing information. So I again have three I/O calls, they're up here. Then I have to name the variables. Now I here I'm applying some function which has a description to some variables that are already recorded. Simply already running off the screen. And again, I'm having a function here that I'm applying some human readable description for, and applying that to some variables. I'm naming the intermediate stuff. Again, some function application, and this is just bookkeeping here. I'm just providing description. And that's it. So I loaded this one into GHCI. So what I did in the end is I have a write invoice function. So let's do that. Let's write an invoice for customer A. So now it hopefully has generated an HTML file, because I said that demo invoice A HTML. Here it is. Okay. So how does it look like? So every variable that I register, this is now just a bit of style with a little bit of CSS. So we have the component, a name that I provided. Here's the rendering of the actual value. Here's the description. And what gets automatically inserted is the edges. So I get hyperlinks and say, well, where is this used? Well, this is used here. Okay, where does this come from? It's used here, so I've got the incoming and outgoing edges for every node in the graph is automatically generated. And that's basically it. So the hyperlinks that I generated myself is so I can do the description can also have hyperlinks from somewhere, so I can go back here and there. And I should mention all this uses Pandoc, so I might just as well say I want a PDF document instead of an HTML document or whatever. So you can use this. You can extract the data flow graph as a bunch of Pandoc values, and there's a function in the library that says, well, okay, generate a Pandoc document out of it, generating all these links and whatever, and then you say, okay, now write a PDF, write whatever you want. Okay, there's another thing, probably because this is just a static document. You can also, where am I? Here. As a side effect, there's always a alternative representation. So in the code, I just said this should be nothing, but where are we? Here. So I can also say, in addition to the Pandoc documentation, write some machine-readable representation of the data. So let's go back to that. Okay, do that again. And now I should have, let's see. Now I have a CSV file, which basically contains the same kind of rendering of the data, of the actual data. So you can also do a spreadsheet, which then just what's it doing here? That's too slow. Yeah. Okay.
So this is how it looks like.
So and then someone can load this into their spreadsheet, and they can also experiment around with this or whatever. Okay. So much for the demos. Now here is something, this is how I would really like to do it, but I don't know how to do it really. So I have I have the Haskell level, where I have a function transforming data A in data B, and I have the HTML level, where I now have a rendering of the data A as some HTML, and this always static. If I could, I would make every input variable that doesn't depend on anything else into a form, which is pre-filled with the actual data that was computed, and then the function F would compile to something like JavaScript maybe. And then I can go into the form and change the data, and the JavaScript changes the representation of the output so that the entire thing becomes interactive. But I don't know how to compile chunks of Haskell into JavaScript, and together with all this marshalling, probably you need a JSON to marshal everything. So there's this package Faye, I know. Maybe somebody has heard of it. Maybe something that's possible. So if you have an idea how to do this, come talk to me, please. Yeah, and that was my last slide. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Yeah, so initially you mentioned that accountants like to look at Excel spreadsheets and formulas, which is true, and presumably they also understand like what the formulas can do, right? Mm-hmm. You have like some product. What you have now, as far as understood correctly, you have full power of Haskell, like you can do arbitrary computations basically.
That's right.
I was wondering if you have looked into providing a like basically cloning the Excel formula language, mm-hmm. so that you can now also provide Excel formulas. Mm. I'm sure this is a big task, but I was just wondering if that's something you have considered.
There's one person in this room who did this already. So you could say, okay, I limit myself to everything that a spreadsheet formula can do, and then you could generate interactive spreadsheets.
Right.
But then again, you're limited to this one kind of output format, probably, and I don't want to lose the expressiveness of Haskell for this.
Who's the person who ruined this?
He sits back there. Okay, so there was another question.
Yeah, this is a great talk. I guess you're going to hold me really on these things. Okay, so I don't have a very good question, but I was wondering concerning this. Trying to add some more interaction to this, whether you try to get these HTML and CSV renderings as an output cell in this Haskell notebook. Because then you would have the chance to maybe to kind of interact proactively, yes. Your invoice, see what the company is like.
I think Pandoc even has a writer filter for Jupyter notebooks or something like this. I've seen that. But again, having this thing interactive means that the other side has to have the backend installed. So it's they need to have some software which they probably don't have out of the box. For having this.
What I meant would be just for your use in creating these. You'd have a tighter interaction. Is that possible, or is that Jupyter?
It might be possible. Yes. So I have definitely haven't looked at all the possibilities of having some kind of interactive code. So maybe there's some format that I haven't seen that makes this easier.
So did you try to teach an accountant so that you have kind of interpret this as a DSL to so that an accountant can use this?
I'm using this in production, yes. I haven't shown you something, but there's some...
Yeah, but in the sense that an accountant who's not able to program.
No. The idea is really that somebody goes and writes the Haskell code that does the actual calculations. But then, again, I'm wrapping this in, let's say, a web server or something like this. So you could say, okay, through the web interface, you say, load this data and perform this calculation, and it spits you out, let's say, the Excel file together with some HTML or some PDF or whatever. And so because the idea is the documentation is only a small part of the actual application that you have.
Are your accountants happy? Do they like it?
Well, the nice thing is that it's not our accountants who need to look at this. Yeah. So definitely, because it's the other side. So they said something like, well, I need some time to adapt to reading this, and they were definitely happy when I added the Excel sheet export feature. The system is flexible. The styling can be made on top, so it's probably not the nicest way to present these kinds of things. You could think about maybe really rendering a graph rather than just a topological sorting of the nodes and all these kinds of things.
There's still time for questions? No more questions? No. Thank you.